Introduction. Over the 3 decades I've been a U.S. Senator, I've been the subject of many profiles. I usually play the villain, according to the standard good guy, bad guy accounts favored by most Washington reporters. The more positive ones tend to focus on my ability to broker deals with supposed adversaries, keep my head when others don't, and win elections I'm not supposed to. Until now, though, no one has ever tried to write the story as I see it, which is really my doing. I only talk to the press if it's to my advantage, and I always discourage my staff from revealing details of my meetings with presidents and other public figures. It's rare that I attend the kind of social events where people tend to engage in the gossip and intrigue for which Washington is famous. I've only been to Nantucket a few times, and I didn't really like it. My idea of a good time is a quiet evening at home with my wife, Elaine Chao, or, although I may hardly strike people as the tailgating type, gathered with friends in the parking lot of the University of Louisville's Papa John's Stadium before a Cardinals football game, a tradition I've enjoyed for decades. Beyond that, the place I feel most at ease is the Senate, an institution that rewards patience and confounds those who lack it. Every serious student of the institution, from Tocqueville to my late colleague Robert Byrd, has viewed the Senate as uniquely important to America's stability and flourishing. In their view, as well as in mine, it has made all the difference. Why? Because during the most contentious and important battle throughout our nation's history, from the fierce early fights over the shape and scope of the federal government to those that preceded and followed a nation-rending civil war, to those surrounding the great wars of the 20th century, or a decades-long Cold War, or the War on Terror, the Senate is the tool that has enabled us to find our footing almost every time. At its best, the Senate exists to keep the government from swinging between extremes as one party loses power and another gains it. The Senate is the only legislative body on earth where a majority is not enough. Most things require 60 votes to pass. Without this moderating effect, today's majority passes something and tomorrow's majority repeals it. Today's majority proposes something, tomorrow's majority opposes it. We see that in the House of Representatives all the time. But when the Senate is allowed to work the way it was designed to, meaning a place where nothing is decided without a good dose of deliberation and debate, as well as input from both the majority and the minority parties, it arrives at a result that is acceptable to people all along the political spectrum. In recent years, however, we've lost our sense for the value of slow and steady deliberation, for the type of work that depends more on patient diplomacy than on power plays and media manipulation. Under Democratic leader Harry Reid, the Senate chamber frequently became little more than a Democratic campaign studio. Many of the bills that Reid allowed for consideration were bills his party did not intend to pass. And none of us, no senator, no American, should be at peace with that. Because if America is to face up to the challenges we face in the decades ahead, she'll need the Senate, the founders in their wisdom intended, not the hollow shell of the Senate created in recent years under Reid. No better example exists of this than the story behind the passage of Obamacare. When Democrats in the Senate couldn't convince even one Republican that this bill was worth supporting as written, they decided to do it on their own and pass it on a party-line vote. And now we're seeing the result. The chaos this law has visited on the country isn't just deeply tragic. It was entirely predictable. That will always be the case if you approach legislation without regard for the views of the other side. Without some meaningful buy-in, you guarantee a food fight. You guarantee instability and strife. It may very well have been the case that on Obamacare, the will of the country was not to pass the bill at all. That's what I would have concluded if Republicans couldn't get a single Democratic vote for legislation of this magnitude. But Democrats plowed forward anyway. They didn't want to hear it, and the results are clear. It's a mess. The problem, admittedly, originates not solely from the left.